Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage of scripture we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks in James chapter 1. He says, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let his word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like the person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go and forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty and are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it, they experience God's blessing in all that they do. And we kind of kicked off a little series this morning, kind of about who you are in Christ. But we started out by saying, you know, it's one thing to hear, you know, who you are in Christ, and this is what I think of when I look at the scripture. You know, you perceive how God sees you in the mirror of his word. In other words, this word is like a mirror, okay? You've got a natural mirror that reflects your natural face, but the word of God is likened unto a spiritual mirror that reflects what God did on the inside of you in Christ. We said there's like 200 plus scriptures in here that have a reflection of all the cool stuff God did. And we refer to them from time to time in different messages, kind of in passing. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're a new man, a new person. The old moral, spiritual condition passed away at the point of the new birth. And you got born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Just as sure as there was a tangible, physical, natural birth, there was a tangible, spiritual rebirth that happened when you called upon the name of the Lord. And you actually truly became a new person. That old moral sinful condition passed away and you became a new person in Christ. And that new person, we know, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just that I'm new, but I have the Holy Spirit living in me. And I'm not just any old new creation. The Bible says I was created in righteousness and true holiness. So we know that righteousness was imparted to my spirit when I got born again. This is all really cool sounding fluffy stuff that it's like, wow, cool, that's amazing. What do I do with that? You know? And that's what this series is about. What do you do with this far out stuff? This too good to be true seeming stuff? The stuff that I can't see in a natural mirror, but this mirror tells me over and over, this stuff is true. And so he said, there comes a point in time where you can't just be fascinated and excited and emotionally even inspired about all this cool sounding stuff. At some point, you have to do with these amazing truths what you did with Jesus, right? Somebody could preach the gospel and tell you about Jesus, but at some point you had to step up and say, okay, I accept it. I believe it. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. There was an accepting after you heard the gospel. And there's also got to be an accepting of who we are in Christ. It's, again, great to hear it and kind of be amazed by it. But at some point, we've got to take that step of faith and say, it's not just cool, but it's really true. And it's really true in me. I believe it. I accept that. I identify on purpose with what God did on the inside of me. I really am a child of God. I really have the Holy Spirit living in me. I really am righteous in there where God recreated me. I believe it. It's not just to make me feel better about myself. The emotional inspiration of it will, again, it'll kind of help you for about 5-10 minutes. But the truth of it will make you free. And that's where we're gazing deeply into that perfecting law, that perfecting word of who we are in Christ, not forgetting our divine origin, okay? So that's kind of the heart of this series. And so we're looking at that truth, that idea from a few different aspects. We started out by looking at simply accepting who you are in Christ. Last week, we looked at defending who you are in Christ, okay? Because as you look at who you are in Christ, the flesh, the world, and the devil over your shoulder are going to say, no, that's not really true. That's not who you are. So you got to defend that and say, no, not only do I accept it, I defend it. I believe it. I'm standing up for what God did in Christ. But there's another aspect this morning I want to look at, and that's the gazing deeply. There's a great story in the Old Testament that kind of gives us a powerful illustration of this too. You know, when Moses and the Hebrew children were wandering around, there was a time when they started to grumble against Moses. They were frustrated and said, it would have been better for us to go back to Egypt, you know? And they opened the door for, they opened the door to the enemy, obviously, and what they experienced were a bunch of snakes. And this is kind of the story. It says, the people came to Moses and said, we've sinned, for we've spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. Because their camp just had bunch and bunch of serpents. So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent of bronze, set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked to the serpent of bronze attentively, expectantly, and with a steady, absorbing gaze, he lived. This is, you know, kind of an interesting story where you've got a camp full of snakes. And you can imagine people are dodging snakes. People are trying to run away from snakes. And the answer to getting free, the answer to getting delivered from the snakes is by giving a steady gaze at this bronze serpent. Not just any old gaze, not a passing glance, an absorbing gaze. I mean, that's an act of faith. You know, if we just had one snake here this morning slithering through the seats, you know, yeah, it'd be just, well, think of that. These guys had thousands and thousands of these things. And there was right up there a bronze serpent. It, what is it? This is just an act of faith. There's nothing dramatic as far as what you're doing or anything. All God's asking from these people here was a gaze, was a look. You couldn't problem solve the snakes. You had to gaze and know that by faith, that gaze was going to heal you. There was healing in that gaze when all the stuff is going around. And as we begin to look at this facet of who we are in Christ, we have to realize that, yes, I got to accept it. I got to be able to stand up and defend it. But there's also going to be a part that I do, and we're just continuing on with our little cat here, our cat and lion, there's going to be a gazing at who you are in Christ. You're going to gaze into this. In other words, this is not a passing glance. And to me, I guess a lot of times I've been excited about the who you are in Christ stuff, but it can be that. It can be kind of, oh, that's cool. Check that box. Let's go on to the next cool thing about God and truth. But this who you are in Christ thing, truth, is powerful, and it requires a gaze. It requires a gaze that is going to transform, heal, deliver. In other words, the who you are in Christ is a gazing topic where you're going to look into it, and as you gaze into it with an absorbing gaze, you're going to experience that healing, that transforming. All right? And this is where in my life, and I think, you know, all of us, as we kind of bump into who we are in Christ, we find this stuff. We kind of get into it for a while, and then we kind of get out of it, and then we remember it, and then kind of get back into it. But I just sense the Lord is causing us to slow down and to really begin to gaze at who we are in Christ, to take a long look. And part of what I want to do in the gazing at who you are in Christ is to really help you understand how this works. Because you can feel kind of condemned about that. Oh, man, I was into the in Christ. Yeah, it's true. I know it's true. But kind of got off and back in and out. And is it true and not true? And, you know, it's kind of one of those things you can kind of go in and out and kind of wonder where you're at. But I just want to share with you this morning what gazing into that law looks like. What gazing into that mirror looks like. Because sometimes we can have wrong expectations. Maybe you guys this week tried some things. Maybe some of you declared, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. You begin to say that. You begin to speak that. You begin to think about that and different things like that. And it's important to understand and not get a wrong expectation of how this works, how this gaze works. It's not that I look into it or I say one thing and all of a sudden I'm Superman in that area, okay? There is a process. There is a gazing process that takes place for this cool, fluffy stuff to be actually real and working in our lives, all right? So let's take a look at this. We're going to start by simply calling, as we're looking at gazing as into who you are in Christ, with the gazing process from witness to revelation. The Apostle Paul said, don't lie to one another. You've stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge after the image and likeness of him who created it. All right? So the Apostle Paul is saying, you're clothing yourself with that new man. You're being intentional about putting on that new man. So I'm not just walking around and all of a sudden I've got it. There is a process. I can get there, but there's a process to getting there. And you can see what he says, clothing yourselves with the new spiritual self. When you clothe yourself in the natural, when you clothe yourself this morning, you know your clothes didn't just jump out of the dresser and onto your body. You had to be very intentional about clothing yourself. It's an act that you do, all right? This is where kind of some of the fluffy spiritual stuff, we can kind of wonder how that all works, and I'm just going to, you know, there's an intentionality. There's an intentionality about how you clothe yourself. And two, when you clothe yourself, it kind of depends on what you're going to wear. It depends on where you're going. I mean, if you're going to the beach, or you're going to a fancy restaurant, or you're going to your friend's house, or you're going to work out, you put on different clothes. You know, you're intentional about that. And as you're gazing into that mirror, as you're gazing into that, as you clothe yourself, like I said, over 200 scriptures, there's a lot of clothing in here, all right? There's a lot of in Christ clothing you can deliberately pull out. And sometimes what you're going to clothe yourself with is going to be dependent upon where you are. You know, maybe if you're dealing with an addiction, you're dealing with something, it just seems like has your number, that the weights and sins so easily beset you. You may be clothing yourself with the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You may be clothing yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome the law of sin and death. You may be clothing yourself with the power that God has, the Spirit of power that God has given you to overcome anything the enemy throws at you. If you're dealing with a guilty conscience and you're ashamed, you may be clothing yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God of who you are in him. You're his child. You know that he loves you, and the blood of Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You may be clothing yourself with the mercy and the goodness of God in that sense. You know, if you're dealing with maybe bitterness, you know, maybe a narrative bitterness or something like that, you may be clothing yourself with the love of God. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So what am I doing? How does it look in real life? I'm intentional. As surely as I'm intentional about my natural physical clothes, I got to be just as intentional about putting on that new man. I'm not just kind of going to get some deep meditative state and it's going to happen. I'm going to put on those clothings. I'm going to go to those promises of God. And this is really kind of how the scripture puts it too. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So that drawer, that closet is completely full. There's no clothing I need that I don't have. So God already got all those clothes for me. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. As a result of this knowledge, he's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you have escaped the corrupt desires that are of the world. So we see what God does is he gives us these promises that we can clothe ourselves with these magnificent promises beyond all price. And it's through the power of these tremendous promises that you experience partnership with the divine nature. And this is really what I want to get to, because we kind of understand the concept. Okay, I'm a new creation. I got these promises. I got to look at these promises. But I want to kind of go under the hood and show you how it works. So you don't kind of wonder, is this working, or how is this working, or how, you know, there is this process. As you get the promises and the Spirit of God, they're going to work together. As you're gazing into those promises, something is going to happen, okay? There is a relationship between this word, between this mirror that you have, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. As you're looking into that mirror, the Holy Spirit inside of you is going to be responding to that mirror in different ways, okay? This is how it starts. You know, I might have said, when I said, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus, some of you have been saying, yeah, I've been knowing that for 20 years. Some of you are saying, wow, really? Cool. Never heard that before. All right? There's different places that you may have heard or be familiar with different promises of God. But the first thing that's going to happen to you when you're gazing into the Word is this. This is 1 John 2:27. But you've received the Holy Spirit, and He lives within you, so that you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and He teaches what is in. And what He teaches is true. It is not a lie. Just as He has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So, this is one of the first things that begins to happen for you as a believer. The witness of the Holy Spirit, He'll witness to you what is true. What is true. In other words, I could maybe read some promise up there, you know, that you were raised together with Christ. You were made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers and principalities and every name that is named. And you can go, wow, cool, that's amazing. I don't know quite how to wrap my mind around that. But it's true. You know, the Apostle Peter, when he was with Jesus, there was a time when Jesus got up and preached his sermon, and his sermon for the day was, drink my blood and eat my flesh. And people didn't like that sermon. And when he got done with his drink my blood and eat my flesh sermon, everybody got up and left. And he turned to his disciples and he said, do you want to go too? And what did Peter wisely say? He said, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, Peter, you know, if Jesus would have put Peter on the spot and said, okay, Peter, I want you to stand up there and expound on what I meant by drink my blood and eat my flesh. I want you to give the full understanding. Peter would not have been able to do that. He would have just said, you know, where else would we go? I don't know. All I know is one thing. Even though I may not understand what you said and all the significance, you said it. Therefore, it's true. You have the words of eternal life. All I got is one thing, a witness to truth. And that's how all this stuff starts. When you get this stuff, don't feel like you got to be in the heavenly glories of wisdom and revelation. You don't. You start where Peter started. Man, I don't get that. And that's in Jesus what? Jesus was the Word made flesh. He was the living Word. And that's the same way this. I don't know, but it's in the Word. The Word said it. So I know it's true. All right? And the Holy Spirit in you, in that relationship that you have, when you begin to be a, like he says, a partnership with the divine nature, with those promises, the first thing that partnership does is he'll just say, true, green light, yep. I'm glad I don't have to stand up and explain it. I'm glad I don't have to give a dissertation on it. I just know it's true. And the Spirit of God says, yeah. And you're kind of going, oh, cool. Wow. I wonder what that means, but I know it's good. You know? And that's how this starts. When you, this gaze begins with just a witness. It's true. There's no intellectual pressure on me to have to do anything. Now, if I can say it's true and then I just go away, it's kind of, okay, cool. You know? Wow, the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. Cool, all right, go on and kind of go your way. But when you say, okay, the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost, the love of God, I know me, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden you begin to take that truth, all right? And this is how the Holy Spirit will lead you, all right? And let me just say again, like we said before, there's a lot of different kind of clothes. There's a lot of different kind of areas of revelation. You may find yourself further along in some things and not as far along on other things. It kind of depends on what you've been gazing at the most. As you begin to gaze at things, those are the things you tend to go further in, right? But understanding the process is this partaker in this relationship. It's just witness. It's true. Cool. All right. Good. It's in there. I don't have to know it, but that's where I'm going to start. The next thing that happens is this. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, praise God, but the spirit who's from God. That, why did we receive the Spirit from God? That we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. All right? That's where we get that witness of the truth. But he doesn't stop there. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. And so what happens then is the Spirit of God will kind of take it another, he'll take it another level, you know? He'll say, yeah, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you begin to think, okay, so it's in there by the Holy Ghost. Because when I read some of those scriptures, those love scriptures, you know, lay aside all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking with all malice. It just seems so effortless. Lay it aside. Come on. These things I've been running, I've been on this merry-go-round for 20 years, and you're just telling me to lay it aside. All right. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. You know, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God. Think about that strong love. Who's he talking to? He isn't talking to this guy. He's not talking to my outward natural man. He's talking to me, though. He's talking to me. He's talking to the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I can't do this. But what happens here is I'm beginning, like right now, okay, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I begin to look at that, and I begin to look at it in contrast with what he tells me to do. None of us can do that. None of us can do Ephesians. No corrupt communication proceeded out of your mouth except that which is good for the use of edification. You can't do that in your natural self. It takes that new creation to do this stuff. The New Testament was written to the new creation. And so that's where you got to get that, okay, I got to get back in my identity here. Because here's the deal. If I start trying to, I got to forgive and do all, you're just, you know, if you think of the cross, on this side of the cross before Jesus died, you're just natural men and women trying to do the law. But on this side of the cross, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after I'm born again, have the Holy Spirit, have his righteousness, have these magnificent promises of who I am in Christ, my identity's changed. If I don't take on that new identity, if I don't have that perspective, I'm new creation. You see, understand, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart here. The love of God was not shed abroad in their heart. They did not have the Holy Spirit. They were not new creations. We are. That's the difference. And if we forget that, if we lose that perspective, then the New Testament reads a lot like the law. Don't say bad things. Don't be bitter. Forgive. You can't do it. In the same way the law guy couldn't do it, the Christian who doesn't identify with who he is in Christ can't do it either. We have to be who we are in Christ to do what we're instructed to do. But we find out that when we begin to be who we are and we begin to gaze, you're comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And it's like, okay, now I get it. Yeah. So there's a process. There's a witness that something's true, but like take something like the love of God. I realize I can't do this. You know, I can't do this in myself. I got to have, Lord, how do I draw on that love of God? How can I, like the Apostle Paul said, it's no longer me who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. And that's the place he gets us to. Whereas if you're forgiven, you're like, whoa, that's not me. That's the love of God within me. You know, he wants to change. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of being identified by the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, or identified by a vindictiveness, or identified, that is being renewed out. And all of a sudden, it's love of God, love of God, love of God. In fact, this works a whole lot like the way demonic strongholds work. You kind of play that thing over and over and over and over, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it gets a hold, and so believable because you've been playing it over and over and over again. That same process happens here as you're comparing spiritual with spiritual. Except instead of playing that old narrative over again, you're playing the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart over and over and over and over again. You're replaying your identity that Christ bought you in Christ over and over and over and over and over again. It's the same process, but it's just with your identity in Christ. In the same way those strongholds can get strong and believable as you begin to compare spiritual with spiritual and let the Holy Spirit say, wow, it's true. Pretty soon it's checkmate. Man, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But what does he say? He says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. How am I doing it? I'm doing it as the elect of God. I'm doing it as holy and beloved. Well, that's got to be new creation stuff. I'm putting on tender mercies, goodness, kindness, forgiving one another, bearing with one another. That's, you know, forgiveness is not a personality type. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the new creation. So right now you get in this process. You kind of start out with that witness. Oh yeah, the love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. Cool. That's all right. Neat. As you begin to gaze into that and you begin to look at the Word of God, what does the Word of God say about love and some of these different things? Then this begins to happen. There's a comparing spiritual with spiritual. You begin to realize this stuff is really true. It's not just a concept. But what am I doing? I'm gazing. As you're doing that, the Holy Spirit is you're partaking of the Holy, that divine nature. You're getting stuff by the Spirit of God. It's not just what the Bible says, but you're going to get your own personal little words that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. And he'll customize them in a way that's, wow, that it's good, that it's God. That this is all part of the gazing process, okay? And as you're doing that, and as you're hiding that Word of God into your heart, then something else begins to happen very powerfully too. Paul said, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You may know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us who believe. Something big happens here. Again, he starts out with a witness. Then it kind of continues on with the spiritual reasoning as you're hiding. But then something happens. There's a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And what happens there? That's when the Spirit of God, you're not just saying, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God begins to speak to your mind. You get revelation. The Word and the Spirit speak to your mind. And you see something. And you know something. And it agrees with what you've been doing by faith. But the Spirit reiterates it. It speaks. It lets you know. It lets you see something. The eyes of your understanding are enlightened. In other words, you get that Word. I remember when I got that Word of the new creation. And it was just kind of walking down saying, yeah, I guess that's who I am, feeling beat up, and I saw something. I saw the new, I saw like the Lord permitted me a glimpse of my inner being, my spirit, the glorious, spotless new creation he made me to be. He said, that's not you, Ed, that's the real you. And I'm so thankful that 34 years later, I've never been able to unsee that. It is in me. It is part of my mind, my heart, my thinking. And that's what happens is God will begin to show you something and it becomes revelation and you know it. I mean, you can get so strong in the love of God, you can get so strong in that identity that people can say things to you and you can actually feel the Spirit grieved by what they're saying to you before it even has a chance to hurt you. To where it's almost like, oh, I'm sorry, Holy Spirit, you had to hear that. I mean, it can be that real to you. I mean, we're God's presence, but that's revelation. That's you're so aware of the love of God around you. You're not wondering. Sometimes these things just don't even have time to penetrate your heart because you're aware. You know that he is for you. You know that he loves you. You know he is never going to leave you nor forsake you. So when the words of man try to shoot their little darts and their arrows and you get that revelation and the Spirit of God is rising up on the inside of you, you know, it's like, wow, praise God. As you're gazing and you're getting stuff, there's this process that's going on. There's a witness. There's a digging in. There's a comparing spiritual with spiritual. But there's ultimately a revelation that happens, you know. And this is what happened when you think of Peter. You know, Peter on that day, he said, Peter, all right, great. We're not going anywhere, Lord. You got the words of eternal life. But let me tell you something. Peter, by the end of his life, you just read his book. 1 Peter chapter 1, you were redeemed, not with corruptible things like gold and silver, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish. That blood has the power to cleanse and heal and you know, restore your soul. In 1 Peter 4, he says, you know, for as much then as Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but to do the will of God. And when Jesus said, my flesh is to do the will of him who sent me, my meat. I mean, Peter could then, at the end of his life, he could have stood up and preached a sermon on drinking the blood and eating the flesh, that you're identifying with his grace and his forgiveness, and you're doing the will of God in the earth as the power of your flesh is gone and the will of God is being done through your life. Peter got that. But he didn't start there. He got there, all right? He got there. And this is the thing that I just want to get across. There's no shortcuts to this. There is going to be a time of getting things from degrees of revelation. For he who sows to his flesh will have the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will have the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. And that's a lot of times what you're doing when you're in that gazing process and you're digging into the Word and you're hungering and thirsting after Him. You're sowing to the Spirit. Every time I declare, I mean, you know, whether I'm here and I just say, okay, that's true, amen, I believe it, that's sowing to the Spirit. When I'm here and I'm saying, yes, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, the old has passed away. I was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. I really am new. I really have His righteousness. And what am I doing? I'm just declaring, I'm speaking, I'm sowing, and I'm continuing to get compare spiritual with spiritual and just get more revelation in that. And then finally, it gets real in your life where that Spirit begins to speak to your mind. Truth. You know, and that's the cool thing about revelation. You don't control revelation. You just plant and you water, and then God gives the increase. And so that revelation comes by God giving the increase. But you did something. You did so. This is that Jesus talks a little about the kingdom of God night and day while he's asleep or awake. The seed sprouts and grows. The farmer doesn't understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. All right? You start with that little blade. Witness. Amen. High five. It's true. Then you're going through, and that heads of wheat are formed as you're forming your heart and your mind and comparing spiritual. You're believing that to be true. And then finally, there's a harvest. There's a harvest of revelation. And that word revelation literally means to unveil. It's like a lot of times I know that with, I believe, the Lombardi Trophy, they did that at Lambeau Field. There was kind of an unveiling and things like that. And a lot of times that's the way it is. When you're over here, and you see that truth, it's like it's cool. You see the form of it, but there's like a drop cloth on it, all right? You're getting over here, it's a little bit closer. You know, you're getting a little bit more definition. But when you get here and there's revelation, it's like the drop cloth comes off, and you see it crystal clear, you know? And so that's where it's such a powerful, you know, just such a powerful truth where we can begin to see and we can begin to know the things that God has done in us. We get it by revelation. We get that gaze, and that gaze begins to change what we're seeing, what we're perceiving, to where it becomes real on the inside of us. And again, there's really no shortcuts to this. There's nothing that, you can, don't ever feel intimidated. Don't ever feel like, you know, shame on you that you don't have my revelation of this. We all start in the same place. We all grow, and we all humbly realize what it takes. You know, as you're growing in the things of God and you're growing in revelation. Sometimes I know when I came over into the charismatic realm, I was raised Lutheran, but when I come over to the charismatic realm, I remember they would be saying one of these in Christ scriptures, and before they'd say it, they'd say, "Did you wear your shouting clothes today?" You know, and I thought, "Well, did I wear my shouting clothes? I don't even know what that means." You know, it's never heard that before. And but pretty soon I understood. They'd say, "If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Woohoo! Yay!" And they'd all be shouting and going, "Oh yeah, that's oh yeah, oh okay, yeah, all right." But I can tell you what, they were shouting from different places. Some people were shouting here, got the blade. That's cool, true, yeah, awesome. Some people were shouting here. They're in the middle of comparing spiritual with spiritual and seeing how it all connects together. And some of them were shouting here because they've already overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony in some areas. But this is where it's important to understand and not have wrong expectations about this stuff, okay? Because there's sometimes that you'll kind of come in and go out. It's like the Spirit's drawing you back in front of that mirror. Come back to this mirror. You're crying out for wisdom. And the Lord's saying, okay, come back to this mirror. Let's open this drawer and pull out these clothes and put them on and keep them on and let them clothes fit you and walk in those clothes in those different areas. Exceedingly great and precious promises for everything that pertains to life and godliness. That means none of our stuff is outside our wardrobe. We've got a wardrobe for whatever it is that we need to clothe ourselves with. I mean, that's such an encouraging thing to me. You know, it's just, it encourages me to know that I can always come back in front of this mirror. I can always look and call upon the name of the Lord in this area, you know, to go from glory to glory. And I see where we're at here. I'm going to go ahead and let's see, we're, I'll just kind of, I'm going to introduce this, but then I'm going to take this into probably next week, because I'd really like to spend a little bit more time on this. But where we're going to be going is speaking your gaze, okay? There's what you're seeing, all right? You're seeing as you're getting a witness, and as you're putting stuff together, and as you're looking in that mirror, you're seeing something. And I'm just going to just kind of say this. This has been such an important thing for me, because in my 34 years since I had that vision of who I was in Christ and following after who I was in Christ and looking in this mirror, I've always heard the importance of speaking and declaring. And for me, it was just, it was like, okay, that's cool. I mean, I can see that, and I can see that in the Word. But kind of in my heart was like, I'm a learner, you know. I like to kind of learn and then go on to the next thing and learn the next thing. But to stop and speak what I already know, it's kind of like, you know, if you need that, good. That's awesome. But you begin to find out, and it's kind of like Naaman, the leper, who had to stop and dip and just do something redundant and repetitive. And the word of the Lord, there is a powerful truth about speaking what you see in that mirror. You're speaking that gaze. You're not speaking outside the mirror. You're not. These aren't visions of grandeur or something weird. You're just speaking what you see. You're just speaking what's looking back at you. You're declaring, you're acknowledging the reflection in the mirror. It's all you're doing. I love the, I've made reference to this, the Hillsong's song, Who You Say I Am. Here's just an excerpt. It says, whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there is a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. There is something about humbly acknowledging and declaring who you are in that mirror. Again, these aren't weird visions of grandeur stuff, and I know people can get off on weird stuff with this. I know that. This isn't metaphysical stuff. This isn't anything that's kind of weird and quirky and out there and all that. When you're declaring who you are, praise God, you are simply agreeing with the Word of God. And when you declare who you are, you're hearing yourself declare who you are. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by that word of God. You got it. Declaring, speaking your gaze is getting what's in your heart out. That's important. I'm just going to kind of just set that up. It is important that you begin to speak. If I came here this morning and I just said, I'm going to meditate the sermon this morning. And if you're really spiritual, you'll pick up on it. No, I got to get what's in my heart out so you can hear it and your spirit can respond to it. There's a powerful action as you're hearing it and you're responding to that. Same in praise and worship. What if I would have just said, we're just going to put the music, we're going to put the lyrics up there. We're going to all just kind of stand up and as you flip through that. No, you're going to declare the fruit of your lips. There is power. But is there anything new? It's not about new. It's not about going on to the next new cool thing. It's about staying where you're at and that gazing and that speaking and that gazing and that faith. There's something that gets built up on the inside of you and that declaring what you see. All right? It is so scriptural. It is so in the Word of God. And I know maybe, you know, you got a flag thrown by a few confession police that, you know, corrected you, and you tell them what they want to hear to get them off your back, and then come down the road and think, I'm glad I'm not caught up in that, you know, legalism bound, all that kind of, and so you can kind of get some negative things or negative connotations, but when you begin to see in the Word what the Word of God says about speaking and about declaring, you begin to realize it's part of the process of gazing. That speaking has a powerful process in gazing, because when you begin to put stuff out there, like we say, you know, you're listening to the second sermon, right? There's the sermon I'm preaching, but there's the sermon the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about what I'm preaching. And I have no idea what that is. That's between you and the Lord. But when you just speak the Word of God in front of that mirror, there's another second sermon of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it comes off as revelation over here, as you're just speaking over here by faith. You don't even have to speak by inspiration. You're just speaking by faith because it's in the mirror. Faith, but then the Holy Spirit responds, and you'll get your own second sermon while you're speaking the word. Praise God. But this is an important part of process. And so I'm going to kind of, you know, go next week, and I want to pick up on that and just talk about that. And I just want you to see that process from the Word of God, because when you begin to see it, it's like, okay, yeah, that is important, you know? It's not just for people who need a little extra help. It's for all of us. It's part of the gazing, the changing process from the witness of truth to the realization and the comparing spiritual with spiritual to the actual revelation. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that your word is true, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We just thank you so much, Heavenly Father, that that mirror of the word of God is reflecting strong who we are in you, Heavenly Father. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you will just help each one of us this morning to begin to realize that no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going, there is clothing. There are promises that we can clothe ourselves with everything that pertains to life and godliness, Lord. And I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will begin to show each one, Lord, the drawers to begin to go to just begin to be intentional, to take some steps of faith, Heavenly Father. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're leading and guiding us right now by your Spirit. And I just pray, go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit. He's been sent to lead and guide me into all truth. You tell me what's true and not true. You bear witness to truth. I am a new creation. It's in your word, and the witness is in my heart. I'm new. Show me what that means. As I look into your word, help me compare spiritual with spiritual. Make the spiritual case that I see it's true. And as I see it's true, give me revelation. I pray for a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened, that I would see that new creation. I would see that love of God. It would be more real to me than any fiery dart of the enemy. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me everything I need for life and godliness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, again, like I said, I just kind of got this started, but I just want to encourage you. This is kind of my heart this morning. Don't be intimidated by somebody else's revelation. You are where you are, and you're growing, and you're going from glory to glory to glory. It's kind of like even this, believing in Jesus. If you're strong in your faith that God loved you, he gave himself for you, and that you're a child of God. Nobody can take that away from you. If somebody were to come up to you and say, really, there's three Jesuses? And you really need to believe on the purple dragon and swing the green sword to be a real Christian. There's nothing in you that would even it wouldn't be, you're grounded. You know him. You know his spirit. You know his word. And that's the way it can be in all these truths in Christ. There's a process of growing up into the things of God. Praise God. So be encouraged in that.